O.J. Simpson was middle, white, middle class, suburban America's first beloved mainstream black guy. People actually liked O.J. And he was likable. I mean, he was. I have to say, I grew up watching. Our family was an NFL fanatic family. We literally were fans. We didn't get very many Buffalo Bills games, but we all knew who he was. And certainly, you know, the TV commercials and the games. You know, you'd see the Hertz rental car commercials and then the movies and all that. O.J. Simpson was white, middle-class America's first beloved black guy. As a matter of fact, he may have been the first, and then after what happened, he may have been the last. Which is why the trial of the century, as they called it, with the dream team of Johnny Cochran and we're still stuck today with the progeny of Kardashian, Robert Kardashian. There was Robert Shapiro, there was Kardashian, there was Cochran, I forget who else was on the dream team, the lawyer team. And then, of course, the trial was publicized. Marcia Clark was the L.A. prosecutor. Remember Judge Ito? Judge Ito presided over the trial. It launched the career of Nancy Grace. It launched the career of Greta Van Cochran, of Greta Van Susteren. It was a big deal. People that watched the trial went, dude, he actually did it. He did it. He killed him. Nearly decapitated Nicole Brown Simpson and then, of course, killed her friend, Ronald Goldman. You know, I saw the statement yesterday from the Goldman family. And I've always been an admirer of Fred Goldman because, you know, he lost his baby boy. And he knew that the psychopath had taken him out. And it was Fred Goldman that would not let it rest. It was Fred Goldman that, after the acquittal in the felony trial, it was Fred Goldman that pushed the issue and then got the civil trial and then got the judgment against O.J. for taking Fred Goldman's son from him. And that was something that O.J. could never overcome. You know, there's so much controversy over this. It remains to this day that, you know, there was the interview with Judith Regan. There were, you know, the book, If I Did It, of course, then, you know, he is found guilty of other crimes, gambling crimes and money laundering and what have you. And he ultimately does spend time in jail. But, you know, if you think back to the trial of the century here, let me give you a radio story to relate this to you here on a Free Phone Friday. One of the advantages of having been around as long as I have is that I was on the air that fateful Friday night. I'll never forget this as long as I live. It was an NBA playoff game. I want to say that it was the LA Lakers playing someone. Maybe it was Phoenix. I don't remember. It was, and my friend T-Ben Boudreaux and I, we were working for 690 WTIX 690 in New Orleans. And on Friday nights, we went and did a live broadcast from a bar / pub on Old Metairie Road in Old Metairie, Louisiana, called Gennaro's. And it was a big party. It was a lot of fun. T-Ben was friends with several wrestlers, including Colonel Buck Robley. I want to say Colonel Buck Robley was at this one. You know, listeners would come from all across the New Orleans area. You know, Friday nights you had beer and pizza and whatever. And so T-Ben and I are doing the show that we always do on those Friday nights. And then I don't remember the exact time, but I'm sure Maggie can find the timeline. People stop listening to us because they all have their little transistor radios with earphones on, with little earbuds on, and they're listening to me and T-Bin actually over the radio airwaves. And people stop listening to us, and they all go to the televisions. And of course, you know, we're like, wait, hey, what the hell's going on here? And at first, you didn't know. It was a helicopter shot, an aerial shot of the freeway system of Los Angeles, and what looked to be a white Bronco or a white SUV, a large one. And we're going there. Why is this helicopter following this Bronco? And then, of course, then the news guys break in and say that there was an arrest warrant that was issued for O.J. Simpson from the L.A. County Prosecutor's Office, and that they went to go get him, and he was nowhere to be found. But then when someone spotted him, then he called his old friend. How many of you remember who was the driver of the car? Al Cowlings was his name. AC, as they called him. So he calls AC up, and then he hops in the infamous Bronco with AC, and then I guess first they're going to go to the airport. He's going to try to fly. He's a flight risk. When he realizes that the police helicopters are chasing him, then then they ditch the airport idea. And then they just start driving around. And this happens just for hours. And so we're doing our live broadcast then. And then we weren't hooked up to take the feed off of the television at the time. So my friend T-Ben and I were on the air that night. Just had to sit there and keep talking and describing what we saw up on the television screens. This is the Crusade Radio Network. And this went on. I want to say that they finally stopped the Bronco, and then O.J. got out and ran or whatever. They apprehended him before the end of the show, because the show was from 7 to 10 Central. And you know what happens after that? He's arraigned, he's booked, and then he goes home. And then, of course, they have the trial of the century. So what a milestone in a broadcast career when you can say that you were on air when I was on air when the white Bronco chase happened. And there's the trial was in what? Was it 1994? I think it was 1994. That timeline seems to me to be about right.
October 3rd, 1995.
Okay, so the chase then was in 1994. That's 30 years ago. I saw somebody droning on about this on Twitter, and I corrected them. I'm going like, dude, this wasn't 20 years ago. It was 30 years ago. Now, think about this. Why did Americans like O.J. Simpson? Why did Americans like O.J. Simpson? He was a Cinderella story. He was from a single parent home. His father was nowhere to be found. He was one of those kids. His mother had to raise him. I want to say he had siblings by herself. And she got him through into Pee Wee League and then into JV, then into varsity. And, of course, the University of Southern California comes calling. And it's a big deal that O.J. signs with USC. He's a standout. He's a standout running back for USC, wins the Heisman Trophy. He's drafted number one by the Buffalo Bills. And then he puts the Skins on the wall, even though the Bills stank at that time. I mean, they're horrible. They're awful. O.J. is the NFL's leading rusher. And I'm telling you, he built up the position of running back. And then he starts doing the Hertz commercials, and then he starts getting movie roles, and he pops up on, what an irony, he pops up on episodes of Saturday Night Live before Norm MacDonald. He goes on Carson, he does all of what you would expect him to do. He has other endorsement contracts. I want to say he did Sony radios and stuff. Why did Americans, he was on Monday Night Football, he was part of the ABC's Wide World of Sports. So why did Americans like OJ? Because he wasn't privileged. He wasn't holding his blackness out, saying, throw money at me, make me popular, make me famous because I'm a black guy and I'm owed reparations and you're a bunch of white racist crackers. And I think it was pretty much the opposite. It was, this is the Crusade Radio Network on the Mike Church Show. It was that OJ worked hard, and most Americans kind of, you know, saw in OJ their lives. He appeared to be, wasn't flashy. He didn't have all the bling and the tattoos and all that. He just seemed to be, you know, in the Hertz commercials, the one that I put in the pile of prep today, he's in a three-piece suit. He did the Hertz commercials running to the airport in the three-piece suit. So, you know, it reminds us, we're told what a horrid, racist, awful country this has always been. It's filled with white supremacist nutbags. There's a racist hiding behind every tree. All of us hate all black people. We've always been out to get them and to suppress them and do this and that and the other. Well, the story of O.J. Simpson prior to the Goldman Simpson murders is the exact opposite of what you were told.